This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
It was a big weekend. WikiLeaks released 250,000 confidential government cables. An asshat attempted to blow up Portland's Christmas tree ceremony. And other asshats set fire to Corvallis' Islamic Center in response.
In your face, asshats. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of ideological screed and unbridled contempt for all of humanity, as well as a distillation of important facts, will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know from Monday, November 30th, 2010.
My God, it doesn't even seem possible.
No.
All in one place.
Right here.
Under one roof.
Every single thing.
At no cost to you, the consumer.
Right.
All right. Astounding.
A 19-year-old has been arrested in connection with a plot to detonate a vehicle bomb at an annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland, Oregon, on Friday evening. Mohammed Osman Mohammed. I'm just going to give my own pronunciations to things.
How are you doing today? Are you on the giggle train?
My voice is completely shot.
I hadn't noticed. I thought you were being seductive.
I'm being raspy and sultry.
That's right, like Lauren Bacall.
As long as I actually keep my voice in the lower register, it's kind of sexy and scratchy. If I go up at all, it just sounds like Bobby Brady going through puberty.
I thought maybe you were some sort of Heidi Tauber cover band.
I like that.
Really?
I do.
Oh, okay. I thought you were some sort of Heidi Tauber cover band.
That's funny.
That's what I do. Okay.
Mohammed Osman Mohammed, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Somalia, was arrested on suspicion of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. He's a resident of Corvallis and a student at Oregon State University.
And he looks like a Q-tip, by the way. No wonder he's all angry at life and whatnot. Just looks in the mirror and, damn, my stupid genetics.
Mohammed was arrested by the FBI and Portland Police Bureau after he attempted to detonate what he believed to be an explosives-laden van that was parked near the tree lighting ceremony.
I only wish, and I can't take credit for this, by the way. This is somebody else who made the suggestion. It was on Twitter. I don't know who, or I'd credit you, sir, so I apologize. I don't mean to bite your style. I only wish, because, you know, the deal is they found out that he was up to no good. And also that he wasn't too bright.
Yeah.
And so they befriended him, and because I'm sure he had lots of friends to begin with, and these types always do. So he was eager for companionship. And anyway, so they were like, hey, no, we hate imperialists too. Sure, yeah, let's work on it together. And then at the last minute, they did like a substituting Folgers crystals, you know, for his bomb.
No, we got a big van full of explosives.
Just sitting at home. We're not doing anything with it.
All you have to do is just call the number.
So this guy on Twitter made the most genius comment. He said that his only regret was that they didn't rig the guy's bomb to go like, wah, wah, when he pressed the... How great would that have been? Just get his months on, right, as he's trying to blow stuff up. Yeah, suck that, friend.
Just some confetti just kind of goes out the back.
You lose.
Well, authorities said they pointed out to him that lots of children would be at the event. But he said he was looking for a huge mass that would be attacked in their own element with their families celebrating the holidays.
Whatever.
And he also stated, it's in Oregon. And Oregon, like, you know, nobody ever thinks about it.
Seriously, they're going to beat that guy to a pulp. I imagine he probably fell down 600 or 700 times on the way to the car, on the way to the station house, on the way to the basement where they went all Sipowicz on his junk with a hose.
Well, Stephanie Napier used to live across the street from him and his family, and she said she hopes this doesn't lead to a backlash against the local Muslim community.
This is, what cut is this?
Plot one.
Plot, let's see, hold on a second. This is, there's so many plot cuts here. Here's that woman as part of this.
Who's to say it's terrorism? Who's to say it isn't just a messed up kid who made a bad choice?
No, I think a bad choice is when you go, should I go through the red light or should I wait? No, I'll go through the red light. This is really hundreds and hundreds of bad choices. By the way, all of them poorly made. He chose wrong at every single intersection in his life. Well done.
She discussed how she learned about what had happened.
Who's to say it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
my son actually, via Facebook, believe it or not, and came and woke us up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and said, oh my gosh, that was Muhammad.
That's awesome.
She also said she couldn't believe it when she heard the news.
Very nice people. Normal, middle class family.
Except for the bombing.
And I think that's why it's so shocking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there you go. So they're going to fix his little red wagon. He won't be making any more plots. He's just going to be plotting to file his toothbrush down into a mess hall shiv. That's really going to consume most of his time from now on.
Well, and as for Stephanie Napier's hope that this would not lead to a backlash against the Muslim community, that was pretty much swift and immediate because, you know, people are idiots.
I think that's kind of been an ongoing backlash. I don't really know. I think it's just a continuation. I don't really know that we're getting off to a new foot there.
So there was a fire early Sunday morning at the Salman al-Farisi Islamic Center.
I think you mean a fire.
A fire.
Fire.
That was attended by Muhammad Osman Muhammad. That was declared arson, unsurprisingly, like by the Corvallis Fire Department.
Is this like a Ricky Ricardo's name is... You know, like
Richard.
I mean, is that like the deal? They just like
pretty
you know,
much.
The name so nice they used it twice.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's extra. Well, it's actually Mohammed Osman Mohammed.
Uh-huh.
So it's spelled differently, both in his first name and his last name.
Is that like when a guy spells Jeff with like a G-O sometimes? But then like later he's also Jeff with a J. Could you be kooky?
Yeah. So if you were Jeffrey with a J, Jeffries with a G. That would be the same.
Really, this proves we're all brothers under the skin here. It shows that every culture has their idiot parents that just can't figure out how to name their kid. And at the last moment, the doctor's like, look, you got to give me something. Candy bar? Sure, candy bar. Fine. And they write it down. And then Candy goes on to be, you know, ridiculed for the next, like, 90 years of her life.
My first husband worked for a company, the Richard D. Martin Company. He was a horrible human being and
Your husband?
No, my husband was okay. He wasn't such a bad guy.
He was okay. No, the boss... Not great. He was okay.
He was a nice man. Uh-huh. But his boss was just a horrible human being. Also, just this racist pinhead from the Deep South. And I remember I found it very fitting when I found out that the D in Richard D. Martin stood for Dick.
Of course.
His
Dick
name
Dick.
Was Richard Dick.
That's awesome. That's
all they could come up with when they named him.
That's where they're, not too bright and also have a series of idiot relatives that they have to placate by with like a legacy name or something. And they go, well, we got the two uncles named Richard. Well, I guess it's Dick Dick for you. I'm going to skip the Dick Dick Goose joke.
Oh, okay. All right. So the Arthur Balazan, a special agent for Oregon for the FBI, said that they made it quite clear the FBI will not tolerate any kind of retribution or attack on the Muslim community. So they are offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and whoever set the Islamic Center on fire. Says they are working very closely with the leadership at the mosque and will find the person responsible and bring the full force of federal justice to bear. So I'm looking forward to that. The imam at the mosque, Yasuf Wanli, said that he was shocked when he heard that Mohammed had been involved in the bomb plot.
Is this a...
This is four. Plot four.
I wish I could have intervened in a way, because he destroyed his future, and he put, you know, civilians in threat, you know, and the U.S. population as a whole.
So the U.S. attorney has vowed to prosecute the arson case aggressively and said that the fact is that violent extremists come from all religions and no religion at all. For one person to blame a group, if that's what happened here, is uniquely anti-American and will be pursued with the full force of the Justice Department.
We should just, spin a wheel or something every few years, and there can just be one group that gets the blame for everything. Like, we don't, you know, I'm not saying we bomb them or we go to war against them or something, but you just spin a, who, left-handed, goddamn left-handed bastards, and then for the next year, like, if you need to vent your anger, you just vent it at the left-handed. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, but then the next week, after that, then it's, of course, the French. I mean, you know. But then later it's guys named Ted.
Yeah. It's this crazy, weird, knee-jerk response that people have to do something that makes no sense at all. Like, say you heard that there was a guy who worked at a 7-Eleven, you know, in the next county who had molested a kid. So then that night, you go out and you set fire to the 7-Eleven down the street from your house.
The registered jockeys, they're all going to get it. Yeah. All of them. All right. Well, it's all part of life's rich pageant, Don. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November 29th, 2010. The first day of the rest of your life. Thank you for joining us. If you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes, you can do that. It's at iTunes. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device if you like. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, we get your science on the march and also your entertainment news. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Oregon, we are, once again, number one in something awesome.
Woo-hoo!
We only rank fifth nationally for prescription painkiller abuse, but we have the highest rate in the country among 18 to 25-year-olds. Yep, we have the...
With that particular drug?
With prescription painkillers.
All right.
Oregon is number one.
So this is really where, you know, like at the last moment, it sounds like we all rallied together and gave our young people the appropriate amount of illicit Xanax.
Exactly.
Well done.
The 18 to 25-year-olds are actually pulling us into the lead in this one.
See,
so
I just assume
good for
that
you, young people.
I assume that Detroit, that they're sort of the Chicago Bulls, of crime. And I figured that at any given moment, we've all got to, like, band together if we're going to keep, you know, the title out of Detroit's hand. I'm sorry. I apologize to the many listeners from Detroit, but you know it's true.
Do we have many listeners in Detroit?
We do, actually. We have several people I know that, they don't live there now, of course, which I think tells us everything we need to know. But for a while, it was L.A., then it wasn't it New Orleans for a while, and then it was even like without the hurricane, and then it was Detroit, and I think it's just sort of stayed Detroit, we don't really have, every now and again Tacoma threatens to,
I'm sorry if Baltimore doesn't have a better showing and things like this.
I suspect that's because people are terrified to go there to gather the appropriate statistics. Mm. That's my thing. I think that's one of those, that's one of those reading Marie Curie's workbooks kind of a thing. We'll visit that in a century or two.
Well, the figures were among the numbers presented at a drug abuse prevention summit in Portland on Monday that brought together state and federal officials, physicians, pharmacists, and law enforcement. The 16 states and the District of Columbia had data from 2007 showed there were more deaths and injuries from drugs than motor vehicle accidents, said Tom Condon of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. A 2009 national survey of drug abuse indicated prescription drugs outpaced marijuana in 2008 and 2009 as the first drug used by people 12 and older. So, because, let's face it, it's easier to steal something from mom's medicine cabinet than it is to buy pot.
You don't have to go get it from some guy. It's right there.
The majority of these users, yes, obtained the prescription pills from somebody they knew. The national survey found it's mostly dentists who are prescribing painkillers to 15 to 19-year-olds, an age group that has not fully developed the part of their brain that regulates inhibitory control.
Well, and how many... Okay, I don't understand. How many kids are going to dentists at the age of 15 for something that requires the prescription, the prescribing of pain medicine? I mean, I know that if you're going to get all your teeth yanked out, but how many 15-year-olds are getting something done that's so intense the doctor needs to give you goofballs?
Well, my experience with getting dental work done has been that dentists are very free with the painkillers.
Really? Little Dr. Feelgood going on there?
It's just, it's one of those things where it's like they go, oh, yeah, I think I got Vicodin for an especially vigorous cleaning once. I mean, they'll pull stuff out of your mouth and they just prescribe you Vicodin like it's Tylenol.
Awesome.
And so I'm not surprised that, a 15-year-old has, a tooth extracted or something. They're 18, their wisdom teeth come in.
And they just give you a fistful of Vicodin or whatever.
Yeah, and then so, of course, it's a prescribed drug, but at the same time, it's like, okay, 2 days later, you're feeling better, but you still have 14 Vicodin.
Sure.
So what are you going to do? You're going to take them? You're going to take them to school?
What are you supposed to do with those? Are you supposed to destroy them?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, return them to the pharmacy or do something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No one does.
No one does. No. Well, you know, rent goes up these days. You got to make ends meet.
So a prescription drug monitoring program approved by Oregon lawmakers last session is scheduled to start in April. The program will be web-based and available to physicians and pharmacists to determine who's prescribing and dispensing drugs and how much the patients receive.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right, this is Rush Limbaugh's fault, by the way.
I
can blame him for this. By the way, you know what I just saw? I just saw that Family Guy where he turns into the eagle at the end.
And wasn't that great?
It was awesome. And it was so great that it was actually him.
I know.
That they actually got Rush to do that. It was quite something. No, it was well done.
It's interesting. You don't really think he's one of those people that's going to have a sense of humor about himself because you know so many of these guys don't.
Well,
you know Glenn Beck wouldn't do something like that.
But that's the difference is that Rush, here's the thing, is that Rush, you know, just knows it's a big con. That's the thing. Like, Rush just cares about Rush's wallet. I saw him on Letterman, actually, 10, 12 years ago when his star was first, when he was at his apogee. And Letterman actually said, Rush, I got to ask you a question. And this was like in 94, 95, when he was like, you know, bad news. And Letterman said, Rush, you ever used to wake up and just look in the mirror and say to yourself, well, I'm full of hot gas. And Rush said, well, only occasionally, sometimes, you know, once or twice a week at most, or something like that. And it was just, and I knew then that he knew that I knew that he knew the thing. And he's an eagle, apparently.
Apparently.
Here's Don Taylor.
The official holiday shopping season began with Black Friday. Best Buy president Mike Vitelli expects lots of people to start jumping on the 3D TV bandwagon this season. Although as Best Buy president, I would say it's more like he hopes a lot of people will start
jumping. He demands. He urges.
He's forcing us to jump on the 3D TV bandwagon.
Is this shopping one?
This is Best Buy.
Let's see. Hold on. These are not in alphabetical. Here we go.
It is the top of the line. And when you look at some of the 3D content, both in movies and in gaming, it's just fantastic.
You know, I was talking to Cheryl about this morning, and she and I are both, well, you were on this thing, too. We're all on the bandwagon, and we got, like, the cathode ray television. Mm-hmm. We're, like, the last three holdouts or whatever on Earth. And we're all on the same page in that, like, when my TV quits working, that's when I'll get a new one. This, I don't mean to sound like an old guy. I guess that ship has sailed. But the idea that my electronics are now disposable, I'm just resisting that whenever I can.
Well, I also dig my heels in, and I get angry when I start feeling like people are telling me that I have to purchase something.
Yes.
That I have to own something because, you know, and that's basically what this is. It's like, people are going to start buying these because they're the best there is.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what happened to the fact we don't have any money?
Maybe I'll just get in, again, I'll buy one from my neighbor when they repossess his television that he could not afford.
Yeah. Vitelli is optimistic of a strong season,
uh-huh.
even though the year itself has had its peaks and valleys among the struggling economy.
I wonder where the peaks have been exactly.
One laptop, one desktop.
It's totally wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that's him.
Let me try this again.
You can have a week that's relatively modest compared to a previous period, and then a new product like a new smartphone or a new game comes out, and we'll have lines around the store.
I feel like Mike Vitelli's going to break my knees if I don't buy something from him.
That's sort of a, is that like a nice femur you got there? It'd be a shame if something were to buy a plasma.
My Lord.
You can have a week that's relatively modest compared to a previous period, and then a new product like a new smartphone or a new game comes out.
Or the cast I put on your arms after I break them in half, jackass.
Vitelli says that you'd better buy, just says that a wide variety of tech gifts appear to be in high demand.
Computing in all categories. The other category that's very exciting, especially from a gift-giving perspective, are e-readers. And probably the hottest category for us as a company at Best Buy today is smartphones.
Okay. Well, here's the smartphone thing notwithstanding. This maybe is a dividing line. I mean, maybe this is. Maybe it's just because I haven't, like, really used one for a long period of time. I'm not on the e-reader thing.
Just not.
Here's one of the big reasons, by the way, I'm not on the e-reader. Okay, I got the iPhone, which I love. Don't get me wrong. Love me the iPhone. But the other thing is, like, okay, you know, I got a book that I carry in my bag. Got that. I got the iPhone that I put in, like, my pocket of my, it's like my suit jacket pocket or my jeans or whatever. The e-reader, though, is just a thing that I can't tuck in my pocket, which means I got to either carry it or stick it in my bag, which means it will get broken at some point. That's the real reason. If they had an e-reader you could, like, roll up, there was like a mouse pad or something, which they probably do or they will, I would almost consider it. But this is just a thing I can snap in half accidentally.
Yeah, that's my problem with the iPad as well. They're awkward sizes.
Yeah.
To me, it's
Like Laura wanted to get one to drag around Europe when she went there, and I was like, baby, go to Kinko's and print out, because she had like all of the, you know, she had like a book she wanted to take, like a travel, like, you know, like some, you know, one of those like Lonely Planet books or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you can go Xerox that for like a dollar. You know, it's like 7 cents a page or something. And you can make three copies, but and then if they get wet, you know, you can just dry them out. Or if they get you put that thing in your bag and it breaks, you're hosed. So yeah, I'm not on the e-reader thing.
My biggest problem is I just like books. I just like the actual physical sensation of the book and the. I've tried e-readers, and so far it's been a hard sell for me because I don't really enjoy reading on them.
Yeah.
Same as I've tried reading on my phone. And I just
no,
I
that's, don't, no, that's bad too.
Don't enjoy it.
No, I'm not with that. Like, if anything, I would get maybe the iPad because then it does. Like, I don't. Here's my thing: is like, I don't know why you would just buy at this point any electronic product that only does one thing.
Yeah.
Because within like 5 minutes, they're going to put something out that does that, and then like also gives you shiatsu, sort of. You know. And I'm just saying that seems like it's better. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm, brought to you by, among other fine business partners, Squires Electric, speaking of technology and science in the world of today. SquiresElectric.com is their website. That is SquiresElectric.com for electrical wiring of any kind, Ethernet wiring, your office intercom system, whether it's a house you've just moved into, a house you've had for quite some time, whether you're upgrading, remodeling, whether you got smoke damage, water damage, if you got repair, if you are taking... Well, like, we had the thing this weekend where... Laura, she got like another little space heater or something. Because we're on this whole thing of like, does the furnace cost more than it would to just heat individual rooms, like, you know, one at a time or something? And so she did the thing of plugging in the heater, and then like 5 seconds later, she's like, the cord feels awfully hot. And of course, it was because it was strung into like five different things. But then I made the mistake of like I don't know, toasting some bread or something, and then the whole house is just plunged into darkness. And it's just, you know, it's just a pain. So if you, you know, you live in, and my house is, you know, fairly old. I mean, it was built, I don't know, whatever, 70 years ago or something like that. So, you know, if you got a house like that, you want to get it, you know, looked at, you want to make sure that the electrical, you know, the system is up to speed and it's going to be able to handle all the power you're drawing through it. Same thing if you're a business, you're moving into a different office, you're upgrading, you're expanding, you're getting to the second location, whatever. You want to make sure that all of this, works correctly. Squires Electric, they've been in Portland for, 12 years, for over a decade. And of course, once they leave your place, it's going to look just as good as it did when they arrived. They're not going to leave a mess behind. And, you know, when they leave, it's going to work. It's going to work, and it's going to work properly. And it's not going to be a thing where they nickel and dime you coming back to tweak it over and over again. You find Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is Squires Electric. Here is Don Taylor.
Olympic National Park officials say a hiker found a badly decomposed body of a man among driftwood on the Jefferson County beach. The Peninsula Daily News reports the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office believes the body is that of David Hudson Jr., a missing Ho tribal fisherman whose boat capsized last month in the Ho River. His body was found Thursday on a beach 300 yards north of the river's mouth. The body was recovered Saturday. Jefferson County Sheriff's Chief Criminal Deputy Joe Knoll says there's a high probability the body is that of Hudson, pointing to the state of decomposition and the location of the body. They will show Hudson's family pictures of the body to try and identify it.
It's like the worst game of flashcards ever. You know? It's like that memory game, but none of the cards match.
Yeah, and that's unpleasant.
He looked less mottled.
Do you think this bloated, fish-eaten thing might be someone, you know, you love?
That's Don Taylor
that's
who
horrible.
Said that, by the way. Rick Emerson would never make a statement such as that. But you always wonder about that, right? Because it's like in the CSI thing, it's like they pull back the sheet or... Which is, you know, here's the thing. That's just dumb. Like, you got fingerprints. Just, you know, like use the guy's fingerprint or something. I don't understand. That can't be a thing they still do.
Can't you just look and go,
that's him, you know? Like, the cops know if they got, like, his license or something. Like, a cop can look at a license and look at a guy, even if he's a little moth-eaten, and go like, yeah, that's the guy.
See, I don't know. That's the problem, too, is on TV... The people always just look exactly like they did before, except they've just got
their head and everything.
They're very pale.
Yeah,
but really, no.
If you have to have the family come identify the body, there's, you know, the odds are they're not going to be identified. One spleen looks pretty much the same as another.
You got to figure it's a lot cheaper, though, than running, you know, fingerprints and doing any kind of forensics.
No, you can do that in like 10 seconds now. On a huge screen, I just saw. You know, it's if Dexter is to be believed, you can actually just do it like during your lunch break while surfing for porn.
Oregon State Troopers issued 51 tickets in just a six-hour period along Interstate 5 in the Woodburn area on Friday morning.
Bad cop.
Troopers anticipating extra traffic heading into the Woodburn Outlet Mall for Black Friday deals set up a traffic sting near exit 271. And drivers were cited for several violations, including illegal stopping and standing on the highway.
You know, what? Really?
People just stopping their cars because you have...
And standing on the highway?
Well, the car is standing on the highway. They're stopping their car. Well, maybe they were just standing on the highway.
Standing on the highway is just... That's just sitting, where the car is just not moving, or that's blocking traffic. Why would you be standing on the highway?
I don't know. You want someone to take a picture of you with the outlet mall behind you across the divider? I have no idea.
The thing is, I hate people who go to that outlet mall, and I don't have any good reason, by the way. Let's just be clear about that. I have no reason. I myself have shopped there. But I was filled with self-loathing while I did it. That outlet mall makes me angry for reasons I can't really quantify.
Because it pretends to be giving you a bargain and it's really just incredibly expensive stuff sold directly to you from the manufacturers?
But that doesn't make it any different than
no
most stores.
Whatsoever.
But that is every store you go to. Okay. Our prices have never been lower. You know, sales are often fake. It's that, and it's not outlet malls in general. It's that outlet mall. I don't know why. Sarah shares this with me. She says the same thing. She's like, she drives by and she just feels loathing for everyone inside. Well, this story is for Rick Emerson then.
They were cited for failure to obey a traffic control device, failure to use safety restraints, driving with a suspended license, and driving without insurance.
And an excessive amount of Burberry clothing.
One person was arrested for DUII on
driving
Friday.
Driving under the intoxication of...
The influence of intoxicants.
I was going to say the influence of in excess, but that's all I could come up with. Avina gata devita.
In the morning, though, I like that they got a DUI in the morning on their way to the outlet mall.
Well, I mean, if you were going to go there, you'd have to get a few belts in you, probably.
And three other people were cited for possession of marijuana.
Excellent.
Again, they issued 51 tickets in 6 hours.
See, I'm okay with that, though. That's my thing, because it didn't happen to me or anybody I know. It didn't happen, it wasn't in my backyard, Don. And it's revenue for the state. So here's the thing. Every ticket they issue there, that's one less ticket they got to issue on Powell. You should be rooting for this.
Have you been out? Were you out and about this weekend?
No.
Doing this? I realized something about, certain bad traffic patterns, and I realized why there's so many traffic accidents and there's bad traffic and stuff on, holiday weekends when people are shopping and Christmas time and stuff. It's not because of drinking. It's because I figured this out. It's because people are not where they normally drive. They're visiting relatives, or they're going, into Portland from the burbs or something to go shopping, and they don't know where they are.
So they have to slow down.
They slowed it. Well, I saw so many people this weekend and even this morning, people who just slowed down for no reason whatsoever, don't turn on a signal, kind of indicate maybe they're going to turn the corner or maybe not because they don't know where they are and they're looking around.
And they don't know how to merge. That's the other thing. They don't know the zipper thing.
And that's why people get hit. I don't think it's intoxication. I think it's because they're not familiar where they are. And people suddenly, when they get a little bit lost,
they stop.
All logic about how to actually drive. God forbid you go around the corner and come back at it. No. Slow down and hold up everyone behind you while you just gawk around and try to figure out where you are.
No, I can see that. That makes sense. Because here's the thing, because I occasionally do this, on those rare times when I've been lost, and I try not to go to Vancouver, ever. But you get lost in a Vancouver suburb, and it's like there's no getting out of there. It's like you're in no exit or something. You're just, in some weird existentialist suburban hell, with a P.F. Chang's everywhere. And it's like you just drive around, and if somebody wants it, it's like you just need a big sign. They need to hang something from a blimp that just says, out, this way, like a Sims thing above you that just points to, where the exit is. And I will catch myself doing that, of driving real slowly, as though that's going to help me figure out where I am. I'm just going to be lost slowly, not quickly. So I'm going to get to another unfamiliar place in half the time. Yeah, don't do these things.
Right.
Jesus.
WikiLeaks has begun releasing some 250,000 confidential diplomatic cables in a major leak that reveals the inner workings of U.S. diplomacy worldwide, reports the New York Times.
Sounds like some sort of community-owned porn business or something.
I know. It is an unfortunate name.
It just sounds terrible. It just WikiLeaks sounds like something like a shared knowledge base for urinary tract infections.
The 220 cables between the State Department and foreign embassies that appeared on the WikiLeaks website on Sunday are the first of thousands to be released this week. The cables feature blunt assessments of American diplomats of world leaders and threats to national security, according to the New York Times, which reviewed the documents for weeks before their release. Among the highlights, Saudi exhortations to the United States to attack Iran, the Chinese government's computer hacking attacks that forced Google out of the country, and the buddy-buddy relationship between Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin and his Italian counterpart Silvio Berlusconi.
That's hard to believe.
Another Russian-related cable noted that Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has none of the bravado of alpha male Vladimir Putin. State Department memos also requested a litany of personal information about leaders in Africa's Great Lakes region, including DNA and iris scans. In Paraguay, embassy officials were instructed to uncover the internet protocol addresses, user accounts, and passwords of their country's leaders. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she deeply regrets the release by WikiLeaks of confidential U.S. documents. Clinton says it has implications beyond America, though.
This disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community.
Oh, somebody's going to be killed.
Clinton offered some reassurance to America's allies.
By the way, that's a reference to Hillary Clinton killing somebody. I, of course, wish Hillary Clinton the best of health and a long life,
yes,
as I do for all federal officials. I'm just saying, you cross Hillary, you don't. There's no coming back from that. You and your whole family just end up in bags at the bottom of the ditch somewhere. I'm sorry, this is Hillary 2? This is the...
This is WikiLeaks 2.
WikiLeaks 2.
I want to make clear that our official foreign policy is not set through these messages, but here in Washington.
Clinton says that new protections are being put in place at the State Department to keep this from happening again.
I want you to know that we are taking aggressive steps to hold responsible those who stole this information.
See, when you hear Hillary Clinton say, like, if you're one of the guys responsible for this and you're watching that on television, that's one of those things where you're just like in the Mosquito Coast where you're just shouting at your wife to pack the bag and just leave the dishes. We're running now. And you just got you get your kid idling the car and you're cleaning a gun and just getting in and just heading for the nearest border.
Well, actually, some of the leaked documents apparently were a little bit amusing as well. There was one missive in which a diplomat observed that Libyan leader Muammar al-Qaddafi was rarely seen without his, quote, senior Ukrainian nurse, a voluptuous blonde.
Awesome.
So that happened. The Oregon Department of Agriculture says that beginning in January, the state will not issue any new exotic pet permits while it phases out the old ones. The agency is acting at the direction of the 2009 legislature, which ordered the change to protect the public against health and safety risks posed to the community by exotic animals. The list of exotic pets includes some bears, crocodiles, and non-human primates, such as capuchin monkeys and chimpanzees.
I love the idea that they have to specify that it's non-human primates. I don't know why. That's sort of creepy and fascinating all at once.
Oh, you can still keep humans as
pets. You can keep humans in a cage, as long as you file the appropriate paperwork.
Current owners will be able to keep their pets until the animal dies or is sold. The state currently has 49 permits issued for 88 exotic animals. Nearly half of those permits are for exotic felines, including servals, caracals, an ocelot, a lynx, a margay, and a Jeffrey cat.
I don't know what the only thing I recognized was an ocelot.
Lynx.
Lynx. Okay, that's like a.
I have
puma
no idea what a serval or a.
A Jeffy cat?
A Jeffrey cat. Jeffrey cat.
All right. Are these all things that can kill you?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Presumably that's the whole thing, right?
Is that, sure.
Like these are things people shouldn't have. All right.
The next largest category of exotic animal permits is for non-human primates. There are currently 15 outstanding permits, which include capuchins, lemurs, rhesus macaques, tamarins, a squirrel monkey, a chimpanzee, vervet, cotton top, and African green monkeys.
Wait, so these are things you can have or that you could have but you can't now?
People currently have them, and they're allowed to keep them until they either die
or are sold. They're grandfathered
in. All right. They're grandfathered in, but there are not going to be any more exotic pet.
So they're not just like suspending this. They are eliminating these licenses.
Right.
Well, that sounds... Look, here's the thing. I'm not for the man meddling in your business, but just because I know the neighborhood I live in, the idiots that surround me, I don't want people being able to own bears. I mean, really, I think I speak for everybody.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is that you have to have a permit for felines not indigenous to Oregon. Currently, the permit is for that. Non-wolf canines, non-indigenous to Oregon, except for domestic dogs, non-human primates. Bears, with the exception of the black bear. Does that mean you can't get a permit for a black bear at all? Or it's okay to have a black bear without a permit?
I don't know. That's actually, it seems like that's probably a thing they don't grant a permit for it all, except then it implies that you could get a permit for a grizzly, which seems, you know, like, or a polar bear, which seems equally ill-advised. Because they'll all, you know, they'll all kill you. They'll kill you dead.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll kill you like you've never been killed.
But, I mean, there are those animal rescue places that, you know, and then they rent the animals out for, they used to rent the animals out for movies and stuff, although I think that's all CGI now. But, people actually, you know, owned those animals.
Yeah, but I think that's a thing that we've, I think we're trying to move away from, you know, like having a bear that you tase until he learns how to balance on a beach ball in a parking lot of a Safeway or something. That, it seems like that's, those things have gone sideways in the past. So the does it say if the I imagine there's a complete list somewhere. This doesn't affect like sort of hedgehoggy things, does it? Because I've been toying with the idea.
No, I don't believe hedgehogs count as exotic animals.
I'm toying with the idea of getting a another hedgehog just because I want to see how Philo interacts with it. I just like the idea of filling the house with more fear, you know, for him. You know, just because you got to toughen up at some point.
This dashes my dream of owning a crocodile, though.
Well, does it say alligator?
Oh, yeah, all members of the Crocodile family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on, we've got your entertainment news and the Rick Emerson radio program. Later on, after 1 o'clock, we have a brief musical interlude. And then the Rick Emerson Show for Monday featuring Job Watch, Cannibal Watch, Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas. We'll recap last night's Walking Dead, and we'll have a Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran. Don't forget tomorrow on the Rick Emerson radio program, Mr. Zach Whedon, sitting right in this chair. Right there.
Right there.
So he'll be... and then I did the most horrible thing. I don't have time to talk about it, but...
Doctor horrible thing?
Well done. Anyway, so... But I got to tell the story today because I can't tell it tomorrow.
Okay.
Because tomorrow, it's one of those things.
To be classy tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like I think that, like, you know, Zach Whedon's going to go like, Rick Emerson and I should be best pals. But there's certain stories you just got to. It's like how, like, sometimes when Anna Griffin from the Oregonian is here, we get all the horrific, like, you know, like penis stories and like a guy being pulled through a wood pulper. Like, we get all that stuff done so that she doesn't have to sit in the, you know, studio and hear us just be vile. So I got this thing I got to tell today. So, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Zach Whedon will be on the Rick Emerson radio program. Again, that starts a little bit after 1 o'clock every weekday at rickemerson.com. Here at Legion of News, this program is made possible by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them by going to portlandspanish.com. That is portlandspanish.com, where you can perhaps learn to say, please, sir, he is only a polar bear. He has been a member of my family for quite some time. The children are terribly fond of him. Please do not take him away. Oh, please. You know, in sort of fluent Spanish, just in case the law officer who comes, takes that polar bear away, perhaps is bilingual. You can communicate. You can get your message across two different ways. Make sure that he sort of hears you right. You can find out more about that, not the polar bear part, the Spanish part, at portlandspanish.com. portlandspanish.com, just like it sounds, all one word. Castalia Language Center. They teach Spanish language classes for adults. That's you and no more than seven other people. They keep the class sizes small, 8 people maximum, which means you get near individualized attention. So if you have tried and you feel like maybe you didn't succeed in learning Spanish first time, or you were in high school or college or something, you feel like it didn't stick with you. A lot of times it's because they just have you just memorizing stuff. You know, it's like the periodic table or something, where they go like, you know, Don, what's AU stand for?
I have no
That's
idea.
Right, gold.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, but then you forget. See, that's what I'm saying. You knew it at one point, probably.
I did. And if I'd had a few minutes to think about it, maybe I would have come up with it. But off the top of my head, couldn't remember.
Because, you know, if they taught you with some sort of a conversational technique or a mnemonic device, perhaps.
Yet I know the word in Spanish for gold. Oro.
I did not know that. Why do you know that?
I don't know.
All right.
I used to live in Los Angeles. I picked up a lot.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. So you spoke it conversationally, therefore you retained it. So that is how a Castalia Language Center operates. They will teach you Spanish conversationally, so you can use Spanish in conversation. And whatever your schedule and whatever your degree of proficiency now, I think that's something that works for you. You find out more by going to portlandspanish.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do a little science news.
It's your science on the march for Monday. Right here at Legion of News.
Well, speaking of bears, Mr. Rick Emerson, there was an episode of The Office in which Jim was baiting Dwight, and he said, question, what kind of bear is best? Well, you know what? Scientifically, we now actually have an answer to that. The brown bear, at least in comparison to the polar bear, according to research published this month.
Define best.
Well, polar bears' skulls have put them at a disadvantage when competing with their close relative, the brown bear, concluded a team of researchers led by Graham Slater of UCLA. The researchers created computer simulations of polar and brown bear skulls to estimate their bite strength and the stresses put on the skull by biting. They found that polar bear skulls were less capable of withstanding the strain from chewing hard foods. Polar bears are the only completely carnivorous bears. Their skulls have adapted to a diet of mostly seal meat and blubber. This diet of soft food has resulted in a weaker skull. They also lost the grinding molars that brown bears use to chew up plant matter. These changes make polar bears less capable of surviving in a rapidly warming Arctic. Brown bears eat everything from caribou to berries. Their skulls are built to withstand greater stress from chewing tougher food. Since 1996, grizzly bears, a subspecies of brown bear, have been observed moving farther north, encroaching on the polar bear's habitat. Arctic sea ice is also disappearing, reducing the territory of the polar bear's seal prey.
Does this mean we're getting like a whole Jets and Sharks thing with polar bears and
exactly
polar bears and brown bears? They're gonna throw down.
Well, and the polar bear's territory, their environment is getting smaller and smaller. What with the polar ice disappearing, they're gonna have less food. And they can't really adapt as quickly because evolution has given them these softer skulls. Meanwhile, the grizzly bears are moving in, and they can eat anything.
Like a great episode of Wife Swap, but with bears. Yeah. You know, where it's, you know, sort of like the, he's a brown bear, he's a polar bear. And they're going to, you know, wah, wah. And then you switch to the polar bear, like, sitting in Wyoming going,
I can't eat meat. I can't eat these bones. I can't chew up these grasses. Meanwhile, the grizzly bear's going, seal blubber? This is awesome.
Seriously, just laying waste to everything in the Arctic?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is going to be awesome.
Researchers haven't just stopped the clock. They've reversed it in animal experiments that may give hope to humans chasing the fountain of youth. Mice exhibiting age-related degeneration, such as brain disease, loss of smell, and fertility decline, have been returned to youthful states of health by genetic manipulation, reports the Wall Street Journal. These mice were equivalent to 80-year-old humans and were about to pass away, said Ronald DiPino, co-author of the paper and a scientist at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. After the experiment, however, they were the physiological equivalent of young adults. The aging mechanism in question is to do with DNA units called telomeres that stop chromosomes and genes from deteriorating. Telomeres shorten as we age, but by reactivating an enzyme called telomerase, that shortening can be forestalled, leading to a reversal of some of the effects of aging. Researchers caution that the findings are not yet directly applicable to humans.
Seems really like a bad idea. Like, if they can't quite do it properly, because it's like, what if, I don't know, like, what if they just, you know, like, if they just reversed aging in parts of you? You know, like, just your lips. Like, you know, what if you're just, the rest of you's old, or, you know, the rest of you's like your age, and then your lips just vanish, though. Your lips, you have like baby lips all of a sudden, or baby teeth.
I was thinking, if you just had like plump, youthful lips instead
fetus lips.
You just look like Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, no, you're just like having to gum everything or something, just like one boob or something goes back to the way when you were like 9. it just seems like it's an inexact science at the moment.
Well, they're still just doing it on mice, too.
Mm.
And really, you know.
How can you tell? I mean, they're either pink or they're not. I mean, that's
probably running and jumping and, you know, getting around better.
Doesn't it seem like what we ought to be working on more than anything is developing a breed of mouse that can talk? Just so we can ask it, like, okay, so how does that feel, though, really? The bleach in the eyes, yes or no? All right, next, you know, and just...
Yeah, stop sewing ears to them and give them vocal cords.
And, you know, and then resume the experiments, because then they can tell you, like, okay, how much does it hurt? A lot or, like really a lot?
Dear God, please stop!
Okay, it hella hurts, Bob. Write that down.
Chemicals found in cleaning products may be harming the health of children and adults, new research suggests. A study shows that young people who are overexposed to the soap agent triclosan are more likely to suffer allergies. The chemical bisphenol A, BPA, which is used in plastics and to line food cans, may suppress the immune system of adults. A resin coating containing BPA allows tin cans to be heated to kill off bugs without the metal contaminating food. That chemical will be banned from baby bottles by mid-2011 under a ruling announced last week by the European Commission. But according to this new research, it may be most harmful to adults. Scientists in the U.S. carried out a study by analyzing data from a major American health and nutrition survey. Triclosan and BPA concentrations in the urine were compared with allergy prevalence and numbers of cytomegalovirus antibodies, which act as a marker for immune system function. What they found was that people over age 18 with higher levels of BPA exposure also had higher CMV antibody levels, which suggests that their immune system may not be functioning properly.
This is why my wife has to buy me a new water bottle like every 5 weeks or something, because she finds that the last one was giving me cancer, making my hair fall out, or, you know, giving me gout or something.
Well, the thing is that this stuff is very, very common in cleaning products and even in soaps that we use. And they're finding that that this could support what they call a hygiene hypothesis, which maintains that living in a very clean and hygienic environment could impact your exposure to microorganisms that are beneficial for the development of your immune system. It's basically possible that you can be way too clean for your own good.
Well, I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah, so watch it. 17 rare sea turtles suffering a variety of ailments are recovering at the New England Aquarium after being rescued over the past 2 days off of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. The turtles rescued by volunteers at Massachusetts Audubon Sanctuary are being cared for at the aquarium's new Animal Care Center in Quincy, Massachusetts. They eventually will be released back to the ocean. Most of them are Kemp's Ridley turtles and are suffering from hypothermia, dehydration, and malnourishment. The turtles usually migrate to warmer waters in the winter, but aquarium officials say strong northwest winds on Wednesday drove the turtles to shore. Many had body temperatures in the 50s when they should have been in the 70s, and aquarium spokesman says it's unusual for the center to have to care for so many at any one time.
I wonder if animals like, you know, seagulls get really pissed off when they hear stories like that. When's the last time you heard about some, like, organization that sprang up to, like, you know, to find, like, a pigeon, you know, in New York that's injured and to nurse it back to health? Like, never. Why? Not cute enough. Not because you see, and plus, too plentiful. You see them all the time.
Right.
So humans see something they haven't seen, like, you know, within the last day or so, and suddenly it's exotic. We have to take care of it. You know, and meanwhile, there's just, you know, some seagull being fed Alka-Seltzer by a kid on a playground in Des Moines.
Yeah, there's seagulls, and they've got, like, you know, fish hooks jammed in their wings.
Seriously.
And things like that. They're looking down
for
at
the love of God.
These boats scooping up the sea turtles and going, come on.
Yeah, see, it's just...
Come on.
I identify with seagulls. I feel like they're an unfairly maligned and ignored animal. You know, they get a bad rap. Mm. You know, we shun them. They're a blind eye.
They are somewhat clever in the way that they survive basically around other animals.
Oh yeah, no, so. And they can eat like anything apparently. I mean, it's just we just create filth. That's all we do. I mean, we're just a horrible species. It just creates garbage all day. So, you know, but they've sort of adapted, right?
Yeah.
They're like, "Hey, garbage. Nope. We'll switch to eat that."
Sort of like possums. That, right. You know, in an urban environment, a possum goes, okay, I'll eat out a trash can.
Yeah, you know,
I'm easy.
Or like, you know, goats or house flies or anything. Like, what do you got? We got filth, you know, and radiation. Okay, you know, and then within like a day, they've evolved, you know, just to eat it and be fine.
Like the bears at Yosemite that started eating out of the garbage dump, which was all the food that was left over from the campers, and they started getting diabetes.
Yes.
Because they were eating leftover like donuts and potato chips.
Yes, then they began opening the tube of humans. Instead of the tube of pretzels.
That's all our science.
You don't stack so easily inside there. There's your science news for Monday right here at Legion of News. Hey, speaking of things that end in day, so today's Monday, that means tomorrow's Tuesday. All of those are coming before Saturday. That is Saturday the 4th. Yes? 4th?
Yes.
4th. Saturday the 4th of December, this coming Saturday, the 4th. Where will you be, Dawn Taylor?
I will be on a wagon riding around looking at beautiful Christmas trees.
That is exactly correct. We've been talking about Christmas Mountain Trees. You can find out more about them at ChristmasMountainTrees.com. ChristmasMountainTrees.com. They are a third-generation family farm, full-time farm. And what they do year-round is they grow and care for these trees. It's not a thing they do, like, on the side to, like, you know, scrape together extra cash. It's not a thing they do to, like, you know, like, they got some deadbeat son and, the judge says he's got to work, so they come up with, like, a Christmas tree lot, you know, like, near a Winco or something. It's an actual family farm. It's huge, by the way. I mean, it's massive. It's actually so big. You're up there at the Christmas Mountain Trees at their farm. You can see three of the Cascade Mountains from there. They got upwards of 80,000 trees. So you go up, and it's an entire day's experience. You walk up, and you go to an area when you get there where you can actually sit in front of a roaring fire for a while. They give you, you know, you get your hot drink, like your cider, your hot chocolate, and then, yeah, there's a wagon that will take you through. I was going to say motorized, but that makes it sound like a horseless carriage or something, but you know
what I mean.
It's a big
tractor. Pulling a big wagon.
But you're not on the tractor. Yeah, you're on the wagon part.
Yeah, you're
behind.
Wagon part.
It's not like you're on some sort of, you know, like it's a wireless electronic motorized.
A professional is driving the tractor.
Anyway, so, and they will take you through, and it's you and your family looking at just tens of thousands of trees of all different varieties. And you find the tree you like, you pick it out, you say, hey, that's our tree right there. And they'll take it, they'll remove the excess needles from it, they'll actually bale it for you, which means that when you get it home, all you have to do is take the one piece of twine off and it's good to go. And it's wrapped up just so that you put it in your living room, you take the twine off, and it expands perfectly. You know, and you've been able to support a local business and a local farm at that. This coming Saturday, Don Taylor and I will be there. By the way, I will be obtaining, a Christmas tree for our break room here.
Oh, nice.
At the Emerson News Network headquarters as well. So if you want to find out more about that, you go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com. By the way, when you go there, you can find the driving directions. You can find the driving directions at their website, which is ChristmasMountainTrees.com, or you can find them on Facebook as well. That is Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. That's Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. And they've also got weather updates and everything, so you can find out exactly, what you're going to be dealing with weather-wise as you get there. ChristmasMountainTrees.com. Please tell me you heard it right here at Legion of News. This is Don Taylor.
An Oregon woman has been sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison for pleading guilty to having sex with two teenage boys. The East Oregonian newspaper reported that 41-year-old Sarah Sadie Thompson of Weston pleaded guilty earlier this month to two counts of sex abuse and one count of luring a minor. She was indicted last May by a Umatilla County grand jury.
How old were the kids?
It says that her victims were younger than 16.
All right.
So, not sure exactly. She is the mother of three boys aged 12 to 15. She also must serve 3 years of post-prison supervision and register as a sex offender.
Does it say, I'm only curious. So she was having relations with these two teenage boys. Does it say, when I say at the same time, I don't necessarily mean at the same time, or do I? But I mean, was it like they were friends and she says, you and Billy come over? Or was it like, she, like one and then she moved on to the next and they caught her before number three?
I have no details in this story at all about how this happened, but I'm willing to wager that if she actually has a 15-year-old son, she probably met these boys through her son.
Sort of a son, why don't you go to the store and get me some smokes?
Yeah.
Kind of, it's women in stories like this, and there's no photo of her. Lacking a photo, women in these stories always appear to me as Mary Louise Parker, just so you know. I know that she doesn't look anything like that, of course. I know she looks like she ought to be named Brunhilde or something, but leave me my dreams, Don. Leave me my dreams.
Give me one moment. I could probably
summon
up a photo of her.
Why are you going to shatter my illusions, the harsh taste of reality?
No, because that's what I do.
Fine.
That's allow me my joy.
Well, let me just say that coming up next hour of the Rick Emerson radio program, your Job Watch, Cannibal Watch, Joy of Christmas will recap last night's episode of Walking Dead, episode number 5.
She's not bad looking. Horribly. This is a mugshot.
Expression there.
Horribly sad and
I think
and
if she
haggard.
Was smiling and maybe, you got her in a slightly dimmer room, she might be, I think she's, as the kids say, she's doable.
Yeah,
well, clear by definition she is. I mean, the story would indicate.
She's not an unattractive woman.
She's not. She doesn't look like I expected her to look.
Yeah.
I mean, and really, let's be honest, who really looks like Mary Louise Parker? No one. So, in any event, the Rick Emerson radio program next hour, along with Mr. Aaron Duran, he'll be giving us the Week in Geek, and we'll talk to Eric D. Snyder, film critic at large, who traveled over the holiday season, including the alleged opt-out day, and he went through SLC where they have the backscatter machines. We're going to find out exactly what security was like for him. So that's all coming up next hour at RickEmerson.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Two sales caused mass confusion and anxious shoppers had to be evacuated from a 24-hour Sacramento Walmart on Black Friday. There was apparently a sale at midnight at Walmart stores and a second sale at 5 a.m. that required shoppers to get a bracelet. Just after the store opened their doors to the 5 a.m. shoppers, store security guards noticed customers getting pushy and unruly. Sacramento sheriff's officers were called in to help clear the store. Everyone was ordered to leave their carts in the store and leave. Once everyone was outside and calmed down, shoppers were allowed back inside to finish their shopping.
Who could have seen this coming?
There were not any reports of serious injuries and no reports of customers not getting their items back once they returned inside.
So the deal is you had to be there at midnight, and then at 5, they wanted everybody clear. This is like cleaning the movie house between screenings or something. But that's one thing at a movie house. This is like at a Walmart where, A, the people are all huge. So you got to have, you need like a cow catcher to go through. And also, it's the biggest shopping day of the year. And plus, you've seen the people at Walmart. Do they look like they follow instructions? Wear a condom. No. Yeah. So,
Well, we have some entertainment news.
All right. Let's see. Here's your entertainment news for Monday.
Leslie Nielsen star of The Naked Gun and Airplane, passed away on Sunday at a hospital near his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he was being treated for pneumonia. He was 84. The master of parody boasted a talent for delivering the most ridiculous lines in the straightest way possible, cloaking outright absurdity in straight-faced obliviousness. Ironically enough, the foundation of that earnest gravitas was built earlier in his career as a dramatic actor. After serving in the Royal Canadian Air Force and studying at New York City's famed Actors Studio, the Saskatchewan-born Nielsen popped up on the early 50s television. He received his first big film break, playing sturdy Commander J.J. Adams in the 1956 sci-fi flick Forbidden Planet. Over the next few decades, he established himself as a reliable, handsome, rich-voiced character actor who graced myriad TV dramas like Peyton Place and Dr. Kildare, and movies such as The Poseidon Adventure. Nielsen worked into his 80s, appearing in even more spoof flicks like Superhero Movie and 2009's Stan Helsing. But Leslie Nielsen is mostly remembered for The Naked Gun and Police Squad and Airplane, and will be missed. Country singer Willie Nelson was charged with marijuana possession in Sierra Blanca, Texas, after authorities found 6 ounces of marijuana on Nelson's tour bus.
I wonder if this is like the guys who were standing outside the outlet mall flagging, you know, like giving speeding tickets. Like, if you need to get your quota up,
yeah.
Like, you could. I wonder if he's like a booty call when it comes to busting, you know, drug users. You know, like, you got to get 15 arrests, you only get 14. Willie's always available.
Yeah, I believe the technical law enforcement term for this is shooting fish in a barrel.
Yes, it is.
Sheriff Arvin West told the El Paso Times that Nelson claimed the marijuana was his, and the singer was held on $2,500 bond before being released. Charlie Sheen's estranged wife, Brooke Mueller, denies reports that she spent Thanksgiving in rehab. "I did not go to rehab. The story is ridiculous," she told Us Magazine. Mm-hmm. "I am healthy and happy." She said she's clean and sober and focusing on the twins and being a good mom. I have an interesting... I'll save this for the next one because I lost it. I have this interesting thing I got about... it's right here. There's a movie coming out in February of 2011 or later about Justin Bieber. It's called Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
Is this a documentary?
I think it's a documentary.
Or /tour.
Part,
you know?
Concert film, yeah. Part biopic. And anyway, they've decided that they're going to do a special sneak preview of it in February. And Paramount is, I actually got this from the publicist. Paramount is offering 118,000 moviegoers in 275 cities the chance to be the first to see the movie before it opens. For $30, you can buy a non-transferable, non-refundable ticket to this preview. You will get special collectible purple Never Say Never 3D glasses. Because apparently the Bieber movie's in 3D.
Okay.
A VIP lanyard, a Never Say Never branded glow stick, a Never Say Never branded rubber bracelet, all packaged in a special branded plastic bag. You can go on. The tickets will be available for purchase starting at 10 a.m. in the time zone of each local screening. So there'll be rolling availability. A ticket limit is 6 per credit card transaction.
So they're basically going to give you the movie ticket and then a bunch of the same stuff that, like, radio station promo teams pelt you with when you
right.
sit in the front row of the screening.
And you're paying $30 for a preview screening.
Limit 6, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
So instead of just, like, having a preview screening to increase word of mouth, they've realized they can actually get you to pony up $30 because the Bieber fans will do that.
You know, here's the thing. He's not going to stay pretty forever. You know, the rainy day is coming soon. So I'm just saying, you don't be like the grasshopper, kids. Be like the ant. Put some money away.
A pistol held by Sean Connery as James Bond in a poster to promote the 1963 film From Russia with Love sold at auction at Christie's for £277,250, which is roughly
$431,000. Jesus.
The Walther air pistol fetched more than 10 times its estimate of £15,000 to £20,000 at Christie's on Thursday. Meanwhile, the rare Darth Vader costume made for the Star Wars film The Empire Strikes Back did not sell at all. It had been expected to fetch up to £230,000. That costume, which was being sold by a private collector from the U.S. who acquired it in 2003, was believed to be the first complete Vader costume to be offered at auction. Another James Bond pistol that appeared in The Man with the Golden Gun sold for £15,000.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, even though, I mean, Star Wars is the bigger film, or Empire is the bigger film, I guess, ostensibly, it's that As you say, it's the one, it's from Empire, right? But it's the first one, not the first one to be made, the first one to be sold.
The first complete costume. So I think that there have been some helmets, there have been other parts, but it's the first complete costume
it's probably
to go
because,
up for auction.
Like the Bond gun, there probably is only one of those because he probably only used it for the poster.
Yeah.
Whereas for the Star Wars movies, they made like 10 of everything. You know, like there's seven, you know, R2s for each of those films. So they probably figure that it's just an inevitability that the others will go up for sale. So there's no need to be right out of the gate with this one.
So the metal I showed you when they first released the catalog for this auction, I showed you a couple of things. And the metal box with
the
glowing
Hal?
Red eye
yeah.
from Hal in 2001, that sold for 17,000 pounds.
Excellent.
So that was pretty good. Also, there was a dinosaur model from the 1933 film King Kong that went for 25,000 pounds. Sadly, though, a pair of trunks wore by Christopher Reeve in Superman 3 failed to sell.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want that pink blanket that they wrapped Richard Pryor in. That's all I want.
I'll bet you could get that cheap. I'll bet you could find that.
Seriously. All right. Well, let's do one more here, and then we will bring the curtain down on this episode of Legion of News.
Well, rumored couple Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal were seen at a cafe called Fido on Saturday in Nashville.
Is this a rumor you're starting now?
No, apparently they actually were seen there. They also were seen ordering maple syrup lattes at a Brooklyn cafe near the residence of Gyllenhaal's sister, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Swift is 20 and currently like the largest selling musician on the planet.
Well done, Jake Gyllenhaal.
And Gyllenhaal is 29.
And spongy.
And coincidentally has a movie coming out.
That's hard to imagine.
So I think it's awesome and like really fortuitous for both of them that they happen to be so publicly dating at this time.
I guess I just get distracted whenever anybody mentions Maggie Gyllenhaal. So I just I can't remember what the story was actually about. It's like, you know, I got a thing for her like I have a thing for Joan Cusack, which is sort of weird, you know. And it's just something, you know, because they're both a little odd looking in their way. I mean, Maggie Gyllenhaal's an attractive woman, but she's a little something strange about her.
So we should never watch Secretary together because I have that weird fascination with James Spader. So we'd both be kind of wiggly.
Yeah. Okay. We're ending. It's a good time to end. The good time to end would have been like 30 seconds ago. I never, you know, chasing the punchline. It's my own fault. Thus endeth another episode of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next at rickemerson.com. As always, we come to you live from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Executive producer is Bruce Agler, chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. This program available later on the day via iTunes or at legionofnews.com or here at Cascadia.fm as an MP3 download. Thank you for listening. We will see you all Tuesday at noon. Have a satisfying Monday, won't you?